Today is the 24th day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today. Grateful to be here with you today. How are you? So good to see you. So grateful that we can be together in this little oasis, this safe space that we have in this world, where we come and open our hearts and let the Bible speak for itself into our lives. I'm so honored that we can take the next step forward. And so let's do that. We're in the book of 2 Chronicles. And we're kind of getting into this place now in the story, once again, where, well, we went through Solomon's reign, and that was epic. Solomon has died, and things are not epic anymore. The kingdoms, like the 12 tribes of Israel, are about to become divided kingdoms. So let's go through that story. 2 Chronicles chapters 11, 12, and 13 today. When Rehoboam arrived in Jerusalem, he summoned 180,000 skilled warriors from Judah and Benjamin to attack Israel and restore the kingdom to Rehoboam. But the Lord's message came to the prophet Shemaiah, "Say this to King Rehoboam, son of Solomon of Judah, and to all the Israelites in Judah and Benjamin. The Lord says this, do not attack and make war with your brothers. Each of you go home, for I have caused this to happen." They obeyed the Lord and called off the attack against Jeroboam. Rehoboam lived in Jerusalem. He built up these fortified cities throughout Judah: Bethlehem, Etam, Tekoa, Bethzur, Soko, Adullam, Gath, Mareshah, Ziph, Adoraim, Achish, Azekah, Zorah, Ajalon, and Hebron. These were the fortified cities in Judah and Benjamin. He fortified these cities and placed officers in them, as well as storehouses of food, olive oil, and wine. In each city there were shields and spears. He strongly fortified them. Judah and Benjamin belonged to him. The priests and Levites who lived throughout Israel supported him no matter where they resided. The Levites even left their pasture lands and their property behind and came to Judah and Jerusalem, for Jeroboam and his sons prohibited them from serving as the Lord's priests. Jeroboam appointed his own priests to serve at the worship centers and to lead in the worship of the goat idols and calf idols he had made. Those among all the Israelite tribes who were determined to worship the Lord God of Israel followed them to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord God of their ancestors. They supported the kingdom of Judah and were loyal to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, for 3 years. They followed the edicts of David and Solomon for 3 years. Rehoboam married Mahalat, the daughter of David's son Jeroboam, and of Abihail, the daughter of Jesse's son Eliab. She bore him sons named Jush, Shemariah, and Zaham. He later married Maacah, the daughter of Absalom. She bore to him Abijah, Attai, Ziza, and Shelomith. Rehoboam loved Maacah, daughter of Absalom, more than his other wives and concubines. He had 18 wives and 60 concubines. He fathered 28 sons and 60 daughters. Rehoboam appointed Abijah, son of Maacah, as the leader over his brothers, for he intended to name him his successor. He wisely placed some of his many sons throughout the regions of Judah and Benjamin in the various fortified cities. He supplied them with abundant provisions and acquired many wives for them. After Rehoboam's rule was established and solidified, he and all Israel rejected the law of the Lord. Because they were unfaithful to the Lord, in King Rehoboam's 5th year, King Shishak of Egypt attacked Jerusalem. He had 1,200 chariots, 60,000 horsemen, and an innumerable number of soldiers who accompanied him from Egypt, including Libyans, Sukkites, and Cushites. He captured the fortified cities of Judah and marched against Jerusalem. Shemaiah the prophet visited Rehoboam and the leaders of Judah who were assembled in Jerusalem because of Shishak. He said to them, "This is what the Lord says. You have rejected me, so I have rejected you, and will hand you over to Shishak." The leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves and said, "The Lord is just." When the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the Lord's message came to Shemaiah. "They have humbled themselves, so I will not destroy them. I will deliver them soon. My anger will not be unleashed against Jerusalem through Shishak. Yet they will become his subjects, so they can experience how serving me differs from serving the surrounding nations." King Shishak of Egypt attacked Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the Lord's temple and of the royal palace. He took everything, including the gold shields that Solomon had made. King Rehoboam made bronze shields to replace them and assigned them to the officers of the royal guard who protected the entrance to the royal palace. Whenever the king visited the Lord's temple, the royal guards carried them and then brought them back to the guard room. So when Rehoboam humbled himself, the Lord relented from his anger and did not annihilate him. Judah experienced some good things. King Rehoboam solidified his rule in Jerusalem. He was 41 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 17 years in Jerusalem, the city the Lord chose from all the tribes of Israel to be his home. Rehoboam's mother was an Ammonite named Naamah. He did evil because he was not determined to follow the Lord. The events of Rehoboam's reign from start to finish are recorded in the annals of Shemaiah the prophet and of Iddo the seer that include genealogical records. There were wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually. Then Rehoboam passed away and was buried in the city of David. His son Abijah replaced him as king. In the 18th year of the reign of King Jeroboam, Abijah became king over Judah. He ruled for 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother was Micaiah, the daughter of Uriel from Gibeah. There was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. Abijah launched the attack with 400,000 well-trained warriors, while Jeroboam deployed against him 800,000 well-trained warriors. Abijah ascended Mount Zemaraim in the Ephraimite hill country and said, "Listen to me, Jeroboam and all Israel. Don't you realize that the Lord God of Israel has given David and his dynasty lasting dominion over Israel by a formal covenant? Jeroboam, son of Nebat, a servant of Solomon, son of David, rose up and rebelled against his master. Lawless, good-for-nothing men gathered around him and conspired against Rehoboam, son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was an inexperienced young man and could not resist them. Now you are declaring that you will resist the Lord's rule through the Davidic dynasty. You have a huge army and bring with you the gold calves that Jeroboam made for you as gods. But you banish the Lord's priests, Aaron's descendants, and the Levites, and appointed your own priests, just as the surrounding nations do. Anyone who comes to consecrate himself with a young bull or seven rams becomes a priest of these fake gods. But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not rejected him. Aaron's descendants serve as the Lord's priests, and the Levites assist them with the work. They offer burnt sacrifices to the Lord every morning and every evening, along with fragrant incense. They arrange the bread of the presence on a ritually clean table and light the lamps on the gold lampstand every evening. Certainly, we are observing the Lord our God's regulations, but you have rejected him. Now look, God is with us as our leader. His priests are ready to blow the trumpets to signal the attack against you. You Israelites, don't fight against the Lord God of your ancestors, for you will not win. Now Jeroboam had sent some men to ambush the Judahite army from behind. The main army was in front of the Judahite army. The ambushers were behind it. The men of Judah turned around and realized they were being attacked from the front and the rear. So they cried out to the Lord for help. The priests blew their trumpets, and the men of Judah gave the battle cry. As the men of Judah gave the battle cry, God struck down Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. The Israelites fled from before the Judahite army, and God handed them over to the men of Judah. Abijah and his army thoroughly defeated them. 500,000 well-trained Israelite men fell dead. That day the Israelites were defeated. The men of Judah prevailed because they relied on the Lord God of their ancestors. Abijah chased Jeroboam. He seized from him these cities: Bethel and its surrounding towns, Jeshana and its surrounding towns, and Ephron and its surrounding towns. Jeroboam did not regain power during the reign of Abijah. The Lord struck him down and he died. Abijah's power grew. He had 14 wives and fathered 22 sons and 16 daughters. The rest of the events of Abijah's reign, including his deeds and sayings, are recorded in the writings of the prophet Iddo. Romans 8, 26 through 39. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how we should pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes on behalf of the saints according to God's will. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. Because those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Indeed, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, freely give us all things? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is the one who will condemn? Christ is the one who died, and more than that, He was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and who also is interceding for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will trouble, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we encountered death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered." No. In all these things, we have complete victory through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor heavenly rulers, nor things that are present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Psalm 18, 37 through 50. I chase my enemies and catch them. I do not turn back until I wipe them out. I beat them to death. They fall at my feet. You gave me strength for battle. You make my foes kneel before me. You make my enemies retreat. I destroy those who hate me. They cry out, but there is no one to help them. They cry out to the Lord, but he does not answer them. I grind them as fine wind-blown dust. I beat them underfoot like clay in the streets. You rescue me from a hostile army. You make me a leader of nations. People over whom I had no authority are now my subjects. When they hear of my exploits, they submit to me. Foreigners are powerless before me. Foreigners lose their courage. They shake with fear as they leave their strongholds. The Lord is alive. My protector is praiseworthy. The God who delivers me is exalted as king. The one true God completely vindicates me. He makes nations submit to me. He delivers me from my enemies. You snatch me away from those who attack me. You rescue me from violent men. So I will give you thanks before the nations, O Lord. I will sing praises to you. He gives his king magnificent victories. He is faithful to his chosen ruler, to David and his descendants forever. Proverbs 19, 27 through 29. If you stop listening to instruction, my child, you will stray from the words of knowledge. A crooked witness scorns justice, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. Penalties have been prepared for scorners, and floggings for the backs of fools. So in Romans, we are continuing with some of the implications of what Paul has been laying out through the entire letter so far. And man, what we see here is quite humbling. It's the good news in all its glory. So Paul explains that Jesus was the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And this was accomplished through his resurrection, or his rebirth into life. So essentially, Paul is telling us that Jesus' resurrection began a new thing on planet Earth. One that hadn't been seen since Eden. This new thing was the reunification of God and man. No longer are we separated from God by sin, but rather we have been reborn into the family of God, where sin no longer has a claim to our soul. Right? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. So if you're a believer in Jesus, then you are reading about yourself in the Bible today. So becoming truly aware of these implications is beyond words, and Paul says as much. I quote him, "What shall we say about such wonderful things as these?" And then he answers that rhetorical question monumentally by saying, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who can condemn us? No one. Because Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand pleading for us. I mean, we did this yesterday. Sit for a second in that. Turn that over a few times. Apply that to the challenges that are being faced. Because the truth of it changes the outlook. It's not magic. It's not going to make all the wrinkles disappear, but it does radically alter our perspective when we truly become aware of what's really going on. The challenges that we are facing in life, they often lead us into doubt about God's heart towards us. At least that's been my story. We run away rather than running toward. But this is the opposite of what we have to do if we want to fully enter into union with God. We have to turn and run toward. The essential question that our trials bring to the surface is whether God can be trusted and whether or not he has abandoned us. And Paul speaks directly to that struggle because it's not a struggle of now, it's a struggle of humanity. And what he says is breathtaking. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted, or hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death? No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life can do it. Angels and demons cannot do it. Our fears about today, our worries about tomorrow, cannot do it. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. There is no power in the sky above or in the earth below. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Jesus, our Lord. Like, there is no ambiguity there. That is clear. That is plain. Paul has led us from the beginning of the letter on this trek that we've been following as he lays it out through Romans, and now we're standing here and seeing the implications and looking beyond the life we once had into the glory of God in Christ Jesus. We're invited forward, but we have to believe it's the truth. And then live into that reality. God isn't going to abandon us, period. We've been reborn into the family of God. Our Father loves us and is committed to us and committed to our lives and our growth, but he will not force himself upon us. We have a choice. Turn toward or turn away. What are you going to choose today? And so, Holy Spirit, we choose life. We choose to turn toward you and not away from you, as we must do in any kind of repair that we might do in our lives. The first move is to turn toward, drop our fists, open our hearts, become vulnerable, have the conversation, and restore things. You will not abandon us. You will lead us into all truth, and we believe that. And so do that. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. The Daily Audio Bible app is home base as well. So please, if you haven't had a chance, grab those and man, play around. 5 minutes will get you really familiar with what's going on there, and what's going on there is the best way to take this journey, and it will only get better. And so check it out. Check out the Daily Audio Bible Shop. We introduced some spiritual connection cards about a month ago, and those have really struck a nerve. They are conversation starters with God, and conversation starters that God might want to start with you. They are a way, a gateway, a doorway, and having the kinds of conversations that we've been discussing, and doing that work of repair and reestablishing connection and trust as we would in our relationships. We understand how this works because we're wired for it. We're wired for it because we're made in the image of God, and this is how God is. This is what God is like. And so there is that resource available in the Daily Audio Bible Shop. Grab yourself a pack of those. Grab yourself a 5-pack, and we'll send you the 6. We'll send you yours free, and you can give 5 of them away. But check them out in the Daily Audio Bible Shop. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, humble gratitude. There is no global campfire if we're not all kind of feeding the fire. And so thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, prayer warriors. This is Annette from Nebraska. My husband had a triple bypass surgery on July 16th. He's going to be released from the hospital on the 22nd, they say. So I would ask that you would please pray for us and for me to be able to give him the right care and administer meds. I'm learning on the job and have to trust that the Holy Spirit's guidance will be clear and that my ideas of what is good won't be acted upon. I have been listening for a couple of years now on DAB and have virtually visited the Holy Land through the Hardin family travels. Daily Audio Bible is a blessing. Thank you all for your prayers.
Good afternoon, beautiful family of God. Today's July the 20th. I'm praying that the Lord will graciously bless you in this new week and always. Today, we'd like to pray for Sparky, to past hurt and family, for a relationship to be restored with his dad, and for his children as well, O Lord. And we also lift up his wife, that there would be forgiveness, unity, with Christ Jesus being the center of all relationship. Would you restore and heal this family and the relationship, O Lord? And we pray for Tony in Minneapolis, our son-in-law who's been missing for a couple of years, who's been living homeless. Lord, we ask you that if it be in your will, in the mighty name of Jesus, that she would hear news from him, something to let her know that he's okay. If it be in your will, Lord, protect him. We pray for Junta Treasurer, our dear sister, who's having issues with her uncontrolled blood pressure. Father, we ask you to bless the doctors with wisdom that only you can give in the way she should go and what needs to be done, O Lord. Bring healing to her, Lord, supernatural healing that only you can do. And for the second caller on July the 15th, a man who says who has no purpose in his life, we lift you up, dear Father, knowing many of us are praying for you. You have a purpose in life. Lord, we pray you will restore his soul, to open his eyes to the wonders that you have created him for. Lead him in the way that he should go, Lord. Give him a purpose. Fill his heart with joy that can only come from you. Dear brother, don't give up. Call out to Jesus, the Savior, and he will open his eyes and give you the peace that surpasses all understanding. All of this we ask in the mighty and holy name of Jesus. God bless.
Hey, DAB fam, it's Laura and Eugene. I am just reflecting on how much wisdom is in this community, and I'm so grateful for everyone coming as they are prompted by the Lord and sharing that. As I was listening today, it just really struck me. I'm so grateful. We are so fortunate. And I wanted to pray for Beloved in Bakersfield. I love hearing your voice. I really love hearing that baby voice in the background. Sister, just warms my heart every time I hear you. Heavenly Father, we adore you. Lord, we are so blessed. We are so grateful you have called us to you and that you have brought us here to this daily audio Bible community. I pray a special blessing over Brian, Jill, Ezekiel, China, everyone, every person who is a part of this community, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us into all truth, Lord. I pray a special prayer today for Beloved in Bakersfield and her sweet family. Jesus, I pray that you would be with them, be with her, and continue to strengthen our community here in your love, in your wisdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This is His Forgiven in Mississippi. I'm asking for prayer for my husband. He had cataract surgery last week, and he is not seeing good. Everything is still fuzzy and cloudy, and he's supposed to have a second cataract surgery tomorrow, and he's not wanting to do it. So I'm just asking for prayer that God will clear up his eyes so that he can get this cataract surgery done. And I also want to thank Brian and Jill and the whole team for the DAB and all that it does for us. You are truly God-given to us, and we love you. Thank you.
Hey, DAB. This is White as Snow from Tennessee. I'm delivering to Winchester, Virginia this week. So I thought of Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. So just wanted to say hi. And I heard your message today where you felt led to pay for someone's groceries, but then you thought they'd be offended, so you didn't say anything. And you're going over it in your mind, thinking of, oh, if I just said these words, it would have been perfect. I think we've all done that, just even in normal conversation, talk to someone, leave, and think, oh man, if I just said this, or not said this, it would have been perfect. But you still don't know how they would react even to that. You know, in your mind, you're thinking, oh, if I just said this, everything would have gone so smoothly. But you still don't know. And so I wouldn't stress over it. And if God leads you to bless someone else the next time you go shopping, you know, just do that. And praise God, He's not keeping a scorecard of everything we do right and wrong. Mine would be pretty pathetic. A bunch of wrongs and a couple rights. And so, I mean, God knows your heart, and that's what really matters. So, hope you have a great week, and remember, you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and after God created everything, he said it was good or very good. So you're all set. All right, God bless.
Hi, Debra. This is Kira, Contrite Spirit, and I'm calling from the July 20th day, the prayers after the session. For the woman who called in so distraught and feeling so sad that she didn't say something to the young man who looked like she was homeless because she didn't want to offend him. Oh, you are so blessed. Bless you, woman. Blessed. What a blessed woman you are with a heart of gold. I just want to tell you, you will get other opportunities. The Lord is going to give you other opportunities. And you were the saint with the light of Christ that I hope comes across my son's path when he's out there on the street. Nearly every single day. He was homeless for 4 years. He's been back with me under my roof for 5.5 years. And he still does the same thing every single day, out on the street, panhandling, using drugs. And my wish and my hope and my desire is for him, someone to cross his path with a heart of gold like yours, to share with him the light and love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He needs to hear it from somebody out there. It doesn't even need to be, you know, buying anything for them, although that's a good way to get in. But don't give up hope, because you're going to have more opportunities. And as so many, like everybody out there, they need that touch.